Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we are back, and we're going to play a clip here. This clip is UN executive blows whistle on global elites, so go ahead and take it away, style.
At the highest levels of politics, finance, and the entertainment industry, a shadowy cabal of paedophiles use their power to hide the sickening crimes they commit against children. This cabal planned to unleash the COVID pandemic in 2016, but had to move it to 2020 because Trump winning the election was not part of their plans. And this also meant that the food and water crisis that was planned for 2020 has now been pushed back to 2025. But don't take my word for it. That was all according to Carlene Georgescu, a former president of the Club of Rome and a former executive director at the United Nations, who has become one of the most well-placed and high-profile whistleblowers in global elite history. Georgescu spent 17 years working in senior roles at the United Nations, rubbing shoulders with the elite. He had various offices within the organization, including senior fellow, special rapporteur, and executive director. He is a real UN insider, and this is why his revelations could not be more chilling. Before we dive in, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, and join the People's Voice Locals community to support the channel and engage with our amazing community. 8 million children go missing in the world every year, and many of them end up in the hands of elite paedophiles who run the world. Because, as Carlene Georgescu explains, the elite use children as a form of currency.
The problem is that the UN agenda is the same with Davos agenda.
Mm-hmm.
This, in fact, is my main topic for our conversation today. For this reason, this oligarchic, the world oligarchic system, they have the power on Europe because they control all the people like Bundeskanzler or president or prime minister or whatever there are.
So
for this reason, sorry to interrupt you, the situation with Donald Trump was a big shock.
They didn't expect that to happen. That was an accident, I suppose.
Absolutely an accident.
Not part of their game plan.
It was the first time of the oligarchy system was what happened, an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Because normally it have to be Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Not Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And the process which we are dealing now with this pandemic and all these liars was supposed to be in 2016.
They were pushed into
exactly,
early
in
start.
A sense to be in 2020 to be a disaster regarding food and water.
Ah,
and
I see.
Which normally they want to arrive in 2025 now.
I see.
So the plan was a little bit changing. For this reason, of course they will not succeed. This is clear. I mean, the system is almost down.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are the last moments, and we have to be, to have the courage now, all of us, to say no. In a sense that UN could be a fantastic, can have a fantastic role, but is not, because it's totally under control of the oligarchs.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that these oligarchs, all of them, are related with the system of the pedophilia one, because we know that there are more than 8 million children per year, which they disappear. 8 million does mean the entire population of Austria.
Mm-hmm.
They disappear without any information, mm-hmm. simply like that.
The implications of Georgescu's allegations are huge. They threaten to shatter our illusions of powerful people, including presidents, royalty, Hollywood, and those we trust to run our countries. These people would be, under the definitions of our legal and moral systems, criminals committing unforgivable crimes. Georgescu's allegations can come at a more important time. The WEF, in collaboration with the UN, has just made a major move towards their endgame of paedophilia acceptance. And on the other side of this quick break, we're going to expose their plans and make sure they fail. I know I should eat healthier. It is the better health, statistically less likely to go on and become heads of large families themselves. This appeals to the WEF and their vision of destroying the family unit and depopulating the earth. And now, they're making their move. The World Economic Forum, in conjunction with the UN, has ordered governments around the world to move towards decriminalising child rape and paedophilia. A new report from the United Nations has called for all forms of drug use and sexual activity to be decriminalised globally, including paedophilia, bestiality and incest. Written by the International Committee of Jurists, UNAIDS and the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, the report was released on International Women's Day with the goal of guiding the application of international human rights law to criminal law. Called the 8 March Principles, the report calls for offences related to drugs and sex, including paedophilia and incest, to be decriminalised. According to legal experts at the United Nations and WEF, laws against paedophilia constitute an attack on the human rights of, wait for it, children. That's right. According to the globalist elite, the age of consent is a discriminatory concept that discriminates against children who want to have sex with adults. Minors, of course, cannot truly consent to sex with adults, something these so-called experts should know. This is just another evil policy pushed by the globalist elite on the unsuspecting citizens of Western countries. If you're wondering how any adult could possibly bring themselves to argue that laws against paedophilia infringe on the rights of children, then you must remember that to the globalist elite, bad equals good. And now we have reached the phase of their master plan where they are rubbing it in our faces. Academics have redefined child molesters as minor attracted persons. And the point, of course, is to send the message that actually it's not that big a deal. It's just a different kind of love. Meet Miranda Galbraith, a licensed counsellor and sex therapist who advocates for MAPS, or minor attracted persons. She says they're vilified and marginalised and shouldn't be referred to as paedophiles.
Hi folks, my name is Miranda. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm a licensed professional counselor and sex therapist in Erie, Pennsylvania. And today I want to talk about minor attracted persons. And I want to talk about minor attracted persons because they are probably the most vilified population of folks in our culture. And most folks are making incorrect assumptions about them without actually knowing much about them. And those assumptions create harm for an already marginalized population. You may have noticed that I'm using the term minor attracted persons, sometimes abbreviated to MAPS, instead of the more commonly used term pedophile. And I'm doing this because the term pedophile has moved from being a diagnostic label to being a judgmental, hurtful insult that we hurl at people in order to harm them or slander them. I also prefer person first language that recognizes that any label we might apply to a person is only part of who they are and doesn't represent everything that they are. We are all people first with many different facets or parts of ourselves, and this includes folks who are attracted to minors. So to start with, let's talk about what a minor attracted person is or who they are. This term simply means that the person has an enduring sexual or romantic attraction to minors. They've not chosen this attraction, just as the rest of us have not chosen whatever our attraction is. You don't get to choose to be heterosexual or to be gay or whatever you are. And you don't get to choose to be a minor attracted person. Some minor attracted persons are attracted to a specific age range of minors, while some are not. And some minor attracted persons are exclusively attracted to minors and are not attracted to adults at all. Some minor attracted persons are also attracted to adults.
This video is yet another illustration of the endgame of sexual progressivism, the absorption of paedophilia under the LGBTQ umbrella. Protecting children from adults who want to sexually exploit them is a basic human instinct, and it's a noble instinct. And yet the mainstream media is doing its best to redefine that instinct as a crime. And paedophilia isn't the only taboo they're determined to smash. Incest is also on the WEF's agenda, and they are determined to have it legalised in all WEF-infiltrated countries, starting with Germany. According to the WEF, anti-incest laws violate the human rights of brothers and sisters who want to have relationships and start families, and a government-backed group in Germany is now parroting the WEF line. Colleen Georgescu is a brave man for coming forward and blowing the whistle on the secrets of the elite. Exposing elite paedophilia is perhaps the most hazardous occupation in the world. There are countless examples, but take the case of international playboy model Natasha Jait, found dead just weeks after publicly stating that she was fearing for her life and would never commit suicide. The 41-year-old also stated that if she was found dead under suspicious circumstances, it would be due to her attempts to expose a VIP paedophile ring. The mother of two young children accused high-level politicians, sports stars and entertainers of being involved in an international paedophile ring. Evil beyond your worst nightmares, that systematically kidnaps children before plunging them into a life of depravity and ritual rape and torture. There is a war going on, and the elite and their puppets in politics and entertainment are becoming more desperate by the day to crush anybody who exposes their agenda. It is more important than ever before to stand your ground and refuse to hand over your birthright to the globalist elite. Here at The People's Voice, we are determined to continue reporting on the crimes of the globalist elite and expose their agenda to as many people as possible.
All right, all of the grooming and pornography and the filth in the classrooms goes back to Barack Obama. Obama's Safe School Czar was promoting it. Now, I'm going to read you some things. I have to be very careful. This is another article from the Gateway Pundit. But here, again, folks, this is why it is so, so important. To get your children out of the public schools and keep them, because keep them from away from the Democrats. Keep your children away from the Democrats. When did all this start? When was this introduced and promoted in the public schools? It was Barack Obama who first pushed teaching sex education to kindergartners back in 2007. He even pushed sex ed to kiddies legislation. Never forget, it was Barack Obama who first pushed that. Now, in 2007, as the Gateway Pundit reported at that time, Barack Obama gave a speech to Planned Predators, which today they call themselves Planned Parenthood, where he pushed teaching sex education to little kindergartners. The media mostly hid this from the American people. And Barack Obama was serious. He said he wanted to fundamentally change America, and he did. In the 2009, the Gateway Pundit did a series on Barack Obama's Safe School Czar, Kevin Jennings. Oh, I remember, and we were also hitting him hard back then because this guy was a flat-out right sodomite pedophile who founded Gleason. Kevin Jennings was a member of the Obama regime pushing his agenda in the schools. They claimed it was inclusive. TGP also reported on Gleason's promotion of dangerous sexual practices to children. Gleason's stated mission is to empower sodomite youth in the schools and to stop their harassment by other students. It encouraged the formation of sodomite student alliances and condemns the use of the hateful word. Gleason also strives to influence the educational circulation, the educational curriculum, to include materials which the group believes will increase tolerance of sodomite students and decrease bullying. To the end, Gleason maintains a recommended reading list of books. Now, I'm going to just jump ahead here and just tell you this. In 2009, the Gateway Pundit first reported on Obama's shocking agenda of perversion to the public schools. Gleason conferences included dildo tips for children. Gleason promoted several books as suggested reading, including a book promoting S&M to children. What I'm looking at right here are some pictures out of that book. And what you have, you've got some Boy Scouts. You've got a Scout Master, an adult, and he's got a Boy Scout in uniform. And remember how they infiltrated the Boy Scouts. And then he's pointing to a picture of a sodomite, sodomizing a young boy. It's, you know, this is, folks, this is stuff is, again, we've got to stop it. We've got to go after this. This is horrible. I mean, it's absolutely horrible. We cannot tolerate this. And this is, again, with this legislation that they want to pass right here in Ohio, when you see these people out there with their little boards trying to get your signatures, go over there and tell them they need to repent, unless they'll burn in hell for what they're doing. That's a horrible thing, what they're trying to push here. But anyhow, books, they actually have books detailing sex between first graders. They have books, Gleason Link Conference handed out sodomite bar guides to teens. And here it goes on to say that they handed out a black book, including tips on, I can't even say these things, what they're talking about here. But this is what they want to do to your children. This is what Barack Obama is all about. This is what that man of sin, that Antichrist, is all about. Now, I've been in the prison ministry now. Well, I'm still literally in it. I don't visit the prisons on a regular basis like I used to. But for 45 years, I visited them on a regular basis, week in and week out. And folks, I spent over 45 years visiting death row, too. Now, one of the things that right now you have men in prison right now that I've known that have been in prison, folks, for over 40 years, 40 years for pedophilia, for sodomizing children, for sexually molesting children. And now you've got it happening out there with these organizations right now, like Gleason and that, and the entire Democratic Party. The entire Democratic Party, they want to make it legal. They make it legal for you to sodomize children. This is where they're at today. But you're not going to hear about that on NBC, ABC, CBS. If whatever you hear, they'll try to really clean it up and present it to you as something that should be acceptable, okay? But it's not. And right now, I know of men that are still in prison I know one particularly who has been in since 1985 for doing what now they're pushing and promoting that should be legal. And they're doing it, but they're not going to, with these corrupt George Soros bought and paid for whore prosecutors. They'll get away with it. You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to open the phone lines early tonight and take some calls. You know, there's a guy in Texas. His name is Ken Paxton. He's the Texas Attorney General, and he's trying to fight all of this kind of stuff. And that's why he's so popular. But there's a bunch of rhinos. There's a lot of rhinos. The Texas House on Friday announced that it will vote on a resolution to impeach highly popular attorney General Ken Paxton, and that was last Saturday at 1 p.m. local time. The Texas House Committee full of rhinos on Thursday voted to recommend impeaching Ken Paxton after an investigation into his corruption. Now, here's a guy that's really been fighting against all of this. He's been fighting against all of this, and that, again, is why he's such a popular guy in Texas out there. So, you folks in Texas, support Ken. Now, phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment, give me a call. And anyhow, let me see. Biden's push against anti-Semitism is supercharging his diversity agenda. Folks, have you had enough? Have we not had enough of this guy? Unbelievable. The White House new strategy is to combat anti-Semitism. You know, is also advancing the Biden administration's diversity, equity, and inclusion agenda into sports leagues, veteran programs, and federal agencies. Look, Biden wants, he wants these trans things to be able to just take complete control over all of the girls' sports. So the girls and women's sports, they won't, they'll, you know, it's an amazing thing. To show you how things have declined and what they've been reduced to, Sports Illustrated used to be a popular magazine. Sports Illustrated was. You know what they used to talk about in Sports Illustrated? Sports. That's what they used to talk about. But now, it's been reduced to a rag. I mean, a disgusting rag. And what's happened is they had, for the woman of the year, wearing a woman's bathing suit, a man. These people are a little bit confused, aren't they, out there? A little bit confused. Let's go to, we have April out there in Texas. Hey, April.
Can you hear me, sir?
I sure can. Can you hear me?
All right. Praise God. Sir, I want to commend you and your team. I know the Lord has the biggest crown.
Well, thank you.
Okay, two things. Daniel 11:36. You see all this homosexual thing and perversion they're pushing on the kids so they can control them? Mm-hmm. I always said the Antichrist is going to be a faggot boy. Okay? But nobody believes me. And I don't know why nobody can't see it. It's just crystal clear. They're pushing this agenda to by defiling and violating the kids' minds. And it's also, I would say, a form of depopulation, you know, to the same sex can't have babies. And another thing is, you were saying that it's very soon that the church should fly away, the rapture.
Uh-huh.
Now, I beg to differ on that. We could agree to disagree. But the church has always went through persecution, even in the early church. Always. And before this church takes flight, she's got to go through. She got to be purged. She's got to be put through the fire. Nobody teaches that. It's always this Jesus to the rescue. Oh, God, yes, he's going to come and get us. But we have to go through something.
All right. Well, let me help you out on this a little bit. See, in God's Word, the Bible deals with logic. It's very, very logical. Now, here, there would be no purpose at all for the church to go through the tribulation period. Now, there's a difference, a major, major difference between persecution and the wrath of God. The wrath of God is for God's enemies, the unsaved. Persecution has come upon his people. The church is being more persecuted today than it ever has been, ever. Now, the purpose of the tribulation period is for the purification of the nation of Israel and judgment upon the heathen nations. And the church fits in neither one of those categories. And then you have in five places in the Bible, it tells you very clearly that the church will not receive the wrath of God. It will be spared from the wrath of God, which is the tribulation period. So it would be no purpose at all for the church to go through the tribulation period. It would be crazy. So there you go. And that's for real. It's been a while since I preached a message on the tribulation, but the Bible doesn't stutter. It's really, really clear. All righty. What do you think about all that? Oh, okay. Anyhow, she's gone. But she talked about the Wolfie King in Daniel chapter 11. Now, if you're still listening out there, let me explain something. Even if this verse was not in Scripture, we would know that the Antichrist would be of a Sodomite. Well, how would we know that? Well, let me read you this here. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Now, here again, that phrase, the God of his fathers, would indicate that the Antichrist would come from a national heritage that was once, let's say, Christian in a sense, even though Daniel 8:9 indicated also that he would come from one of the four divisions of the Greek Empire. So here, when we see this, we know this, that whatever God's Word, the Bible, teaches, the Antichrist would be in total opposition. They will always call good evil and evil good. Now, the very fact that God has made sodomy and sodomites a horrible sin, an abominable thing, would be the very reason that that's what Satan would do. He is an abomination. So they will always, well, you know, I hate to say it, but today, that's the what we call the Democratic Party. And people want to say, why are you always hitting on the Democratic Party? Well, folks, you have to understand, it's not China, it's not Russia, it's not North Korea that are America's worst enemy. The people that you have to watch are those that are among you. Right now, all you have to do is listen to what they say. They want to take away your freedom. They want to take away your property. They're a part of the depopulation globalist movement. Our Congress is filled with communists. I mean, half of them in there are hard right communists that are anti-Christian. Okay, listen to what they're saying. They want to eliminate all Christians. So here, going back to what the caller said, first of all, when you take a look at that, you shall neither regard the God of his fathers nor the desire of women. Of course, he's going to come across as a sodomite, a sodomy. There you go. Who do we have next out there? AC, you're in the air.
Yes. Hello, Pastor.
Hello, AC.
Jesus clearly taught a pre-tribulation rapture in the Olivet Discourse. He gave us a historical parallel, an example, the days of Noah. Noah did not go through the flood. He was kept safe above it. So these people that think, these post-tribbers that think that the church is going through the tribulation, they're in for a fooling. And the days of Noah analogy proved that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was rescued from the flood through the ark that God had him to build, and that ark represents the rapture. So I hope the caller gets this straight, because it's essential to understand what Jesus taught on this matter.
Well, he taught it, you know, very clearly. He shows you, for example, you had what was taking place. You had the flood. The ark rose up above Mount Arafat, which is called the first, it's in the sky, what we would call being in the sky, the first heaven. And so what was happening? While Noah, the eight were taken up off the earth, into the sky, what was taking place down on earth? Judgment. Judgment was taking place. No.
Yes.
Well, let's go now to when Israel came out of Egypt, and God had parted the Red Sea. And so what did we see happening? Well, Israel went down into the sea, and then God brought him up out of the sea, up onto the mountain, and Pharaoh's army came and followed him into the Red Sea. So once again, God took his people out, up into the mountain, and what was taking place down and below at the sea? Judgment. So he shows you these things here. These are what you call types. But you're right. There's absolutely... there would be no purpose. And again, and time and time again, he tells you in Scripture that the church will not go through the tribulation period. The church will not, there would be, it would be totally no reason at all for the church to go through the tribulation period. So,
the tribulation period is the flood of God's wrath against planet Earth. It's a flood of wrath. It's one judgment right after another. The whole book of the most, so much of the book of Revelation is record or prophesies the various aspects of his wrath, the vials, the bowls, the, you know, the trumpet judgment.
And all right.
So
let me just tell you this very quickly. Then we're going to go to a break. You can hang on if you want. In Romans chapter 5, verse 9 says this, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. And so he's referring to the tribulation period, the judgment of God through him. And then if you go over to Revelation, and in Revelation chapter 3, you read in verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptations which shall come upon all the earth to try them that dwell upon the earth. So he's making a point again that the church will be kept from his wrath, from that hour of temptation, which is called the tribulation period. So there you go. But hang tight. We'll be back after this.
And I won't ever let you down, but you should have a fear of me.
Alrighty, we are back, and that was young Julie Daner. It's not so young anymore, neither am I. And yours truly, old Pastor Ernie. And are you still there, AC?
Yes, I'm here.
Alrighty. All right, very good. Well, I think, did we settle that?
Yeah, I mean, this is so important because the post-tribulation, mid-tribulation doctrines are contrary to what Jesus taught. And, you know, he gave us this little parable in Matthew 24 about the thief. And he also gave the same parable in Mark about the thief. And Jesus comes as a thief for what? And this is going to sound strange, but he comes to rob the graves of those that have died in Christ. Now, obviously, those that have died in Christ come with him. But the graves of the saved will be opened, and the graves of the damned will be left untouched. And that's a witness to those left behind, including the Jews. Because to the Jews, the resurrection has always been a stumbling block. The open grave on Resurrection Day has always been a stumbling block to the Jews. And they're going to see open graves. And this is why God's going to use the rapture as a witness to those left behind in the tribulation period.
All right.
Very powerful witness.
I think we have April back with us. April's called back with us. April, are you back?
Oh, thank you, praise God. Okay, let me clarify something, Pastor. I did not say that the church was going to be here the whole 7 years. Oh, no, we would never last. But God had to shorten the time. We're only going to be here that first 3.5 we have to go through. The Antichrist is going to take, is going to reveal himself over in Jerusalem, because a lot of teachers are saying, oh, the United States is not going to be affected. That's not true. He said he causes all, rich and poor, bond and free. All means all. He's going to be running 7 continents. He's going to get rid of 3, toss them. He's going to get rid of the Pope. He's just using them to draw the people. He needs religion to draw the people in. Then he's going to get rid of them. Okay? But that first, you see, the church is in for a rude awakening. And
okay,
a lot of churches need to know this just is about Israel.
Yeah, let me explain that to you, though. So, you know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 10, it says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, do you know the difference between the day of Christ and the... Are you there?
Yes, I do.
Can I explain it? Well, wait a minute. Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you know the difference between the day of Christ and the day of the Lord? The day of Christ, a lot of people confuse the two. And this is what's taking place. And you'll find this here, in fact, in 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and then going into 1 Thessalonians 5, you're going to see both of these things take place. The day of Christ and the day of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the day of Christ always deals with salvation, and the day of the Lord always deals with judgment. Two things happening. And now, if you start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, people, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so with them which sleep, and Jesus will bring with him. Now, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and in the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds.
But it doesn't say when that's going to happen. Excuse me.
Well,
it
yeah. It happens. Happen.
Yes, that's going to happen, Pastor. But it doesn't say when.
Well, it happens before the day of the Lord, okay? So immediately after the saints are taken out, they're here. They're caught up to be with the Lord in the first heaven. Then... the day of the Lord starts, But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need, I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. So you're talking about the day of the Lord, the judgment upon the unsaved, and that tribulation period is going to be taking place. Now, there will be many, many people saved during the tribulation period, and you will have many tribulation saints, but the church will not be here.
It's going to be after. It's going. Excuse me, 1 minute. Let me just get this wrong. Daniel 7:24-23 said he's going to make war with the saints, and then Revelation 12:7 says he's going to make. Who's a saint? Either we saints or ain't. See, everybody, folks keep pawning it off. Oh, that's not us. That's them Jews. No, that's church. But see, it's a harsh message, Pastor, because they've been teaching this pre-trib flyaway thing for so many years. It started out in the 1800s. You know, I just want to say this.
No, no, it didn't start out in the 1800s. April, I just read it to you, which was written here in 96 A.D. But I got to move on. But thanks anyhow. There you go. All right, there you go. Let's go out to Philly with Kevin. Kevin, you're in the air.
Hey, how you doing, Pastor Ernie? This is Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch base with you about the pre-trib rapture. A lot of people have confusion. If you go to, of course, everyone knows the 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 being caught up into the air. That is the rapture. Right after that, when you go to chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, it tells you the reason why that happened. It's because 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says we have not been appointed to God's wrath. Now, when does that wrath happen? You go to Revelation 6. Go to the bottom of that chapter. It says, after all the seals are being broken loose, it says, for the wrath of God has come. And we're not appointed to that. So you go back up to the fourth seal being broken, and it says, 25% of the world's population is destroyed. So you're going to know that you're in the tribulation period because you're going to see about a couple billion people getting destroyed. Now, if you're in the tribulation period and you read your Bible, you will know when Jesus Christ's second coming is. When Jesus says that no one knows the day or the hour when Jesus comes back, that's the rapture of the church. But if you end up in the tribulation period, you will know when his second coming is because you know you will be in the tribulation period. You will see 2 billion people get destroyed. You will see the man of sin being revealed. So that totally goes against anyone thinking that there's not a pre-tribulation rapture. You go to Revelation 19, it tells us that we are coming back with Christ to save Israel against the enemies.
All right, you made a good point. Let me stop you there because, you see, when you get to Revelation chapter 4, and John, he looks up, and John is a type of the New Testament church. He's a type of the New Testament church. Remember when he asked, who are these people? I don't know those that were given the white robes. And they're told these were the tribulation saints, which he never knew, but he knew the New Testament church. Now, from John 4, you would probably agree that the church would be a very significant where it comes to in importance in the Bible. In other words, seeing being the bride of Christ, right? Well, there's not a mention of the church until you get all the way through Revelation 19. And you're right, when the church is coming back. Now, in order to come back to a place, you first have to leave that place. You can't come back there until you've left it, right? So in all that time, from Revelation 4 until 19, there's no mention of the church because the church is not on earth.
Yeah, here's another interesting thing, too, that helped me see the pre-tribulation rapture, because I struggled with it for a few years. I used to think it was mid-trib when the seventh trumpet blasted. If you go to John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus says that he goes to prepare a place, and in his Father's house are many mansions. Where he's at, he'll come back and he'll bring you, and you'll be with him. Jesus is paralleling a Jewish wedding custom. The Jewish bridegroom would always go to purchase the bride, and he would say to her, he doesn't know when he'll be back. He was going to put an addition on his Father's house, and he'll be back one day. That's the pre-tribulation rapture right there.
Absolutely,
you can download that. You can go to Google and download, say, Google showed me the parallel between the Jewish wedding customs of Jesus' day and the pre-tribulation rapture, and it'll break it all down to you. It's amazing. And even in Zechariah 14, verse 5, it tells us that we, all his saints, are coming back with them.
I know.
Where are we at? We're in heaven, man. Why the tribulation's going on? The tribulation is the 70th week of Jacob's trouble. 69 weeks have already happened. It's a seven-year period.
Right.
It's so clear and plain, the pre-trib rapture.
Well, I know that.
I'm wishing it already happened, though.
Well, let me ask you another question since you're here now. Let me just ask you this. If, in fact, you're saved, but you don't believe in the rapture of the church, you don't believe that you believe, let's just say you're saved, but you believe you're going to have to go through the tribulation period, will you go, will you be taken up in the rapture, or will you be left here on earth to go through the tribulation?
Oh, my thoughts are, I'm part of Jesus. If I'm truly a born-again Christian, Jesus loves me that much, and I'm part of his bride, I believe I'm going to go. I'll be surprised, but I believe I would go.
Well, he's saying that he's returning for those that are looking for his return, for those that are looking.
There's also a reward for those that are looking for the return also.
I mean,
maybe that'll be a reward that they lose out on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
You understand what I'm saying? Because I believe that you're truly born again, and for some reason you haven't been taught that, or you didn't see it in the Bible. The devil blinded you. I don't know. But I believe you'll just lose that reward, because Paul talks about that when he fought the good fight. You know, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for him, but not for him only, but for all those who are waiting for his return. There's five different rewards we're going to get as Christians. I believe they'll lose out on that reward because maybe they weren't living their life.
I hear you. I hear you.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's hard to fathom that that were saved would be left behind, even if they weren't looking for his return.
Yeah, like my pastor always says, Jesus isn't going to beat his bride up.
Right. Absolutely.
And we are appointed from, like Job says, from the day we're born, man is appointed unto trouble. And Jesus said, in this world, you will have persecution. But he never said we were going to receive his wrath. Jesus received God's wrath on the cross. It was finished at the cross.
Absolutely.
The wrath comes when the seals are being broken loose. From the first seal, boom, there goes God's wrath. Because you go to the Bible.
I hear it.
The wrath is gone.
I got to move on, but thanks. All right, how much time do I have there left, Style? Okay. Do we have any other callers there? Okay, well, we don't have any time. Folks, we're at that point where we get to, I should have kept this last fellow on and had him give, he sounded like he knew what he was talking about. I should have had him give the invitation. I like to do that. That's actually my job, is to have people, especially the men in the church, to give them all an opportunity to do that. That's the Great Commission. But anyhow, folks, there will be a rapture of the church. That will happen. And it doesn't really matter whether you believe if you're pre, mid, or post. But put it this way. The Lord is going to return for those that are looking for his return. Now, here's the point. Everything that we've discussed, and all of the politics and everything that's happening in this world, one day will end. And it'll be forgotten. But there will be, the time is coming, and I have people say, well, I don't necessarily believe that. And I tell them this, I know, but you will believe it. You see, you will. There's no chance at all that you won't believe it, you see. Because people will say, well, you know, I don't necessarily think that I'll ever die. Well, you can believe that you'll never die, but you're going to die. You're going to die. That's going to happen. And whether you believe it or not, okay? There's a lot of people out there today wandering around. You've got boys that think they're girls. I just read here something, a 30-something-year-old woman who decided she's a 15-year-old boy, and because that's what she believed. But so she took off with a bunch of young boys, but now she's facing charges for kidnapping children, okay? Because, see, even though she believed that she was a 50 our 15-year-old boy, she really wasn't. She was a 30-something-year-old woman. Now, you out there can believe what you want, but what God's word is reality. And God's word says you will die. That's reality. God's word says when that happens, it's appointed to all men, and then the judgment. Now, you're going to be judged at that point, and you will end up in heaven or hell. Now, that's it. There's no in-between. You'll be going to one or the other. People don't go out of existence. We just change real estate. And, folks, believe me, that's the long and the short of it. And you don't want to end up in hell. You don't. And that's what will happen if you die in your sin. Well, how do you avoid that? Jesus said this. He made it real easy for you. He did for you what you could never do for yourself. He did what only he could have done. He was the only one that could have done it. Had he decided not to, we'd all been in a world of hurt. But Christ took your place upon the cross. He took your punishment. He took your stripes for you. Now, here's what's required of you. You're to pray to the Father. You're to go and pray to the Father in the name of the Son. And you're to ask the Father to forgive you of your sins. It's called repentance. You're going to ask to be forgiven of your sins. You're going to acknowledge you're a sinner and only a sinner and get saved. And then once you've done that, then you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. You ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. You put him number one. And if you'll do that, God will always honor. He will always. God is the only one that is capable of always, no matter what, always doing what he says he will do. We can't do that. Circumstances, and we may have the best intentions, but we can never absolutely be positively guaranteed to do what we're going to do. God can, and he will honor that commitment. And if you do that, if you do that, you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now, and you will be on a road, on a path to immortality. You have God's word on that. Well, let me say that again. You have God's word on it. Now, there's nothing in existence that's as sure as the word of God. Nothing at all. As the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass. Heaven and earth will pass, but his words will never pass away. And so, if I were you, I would do that tonight. I would do that tonight. I would pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of sins, ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life, be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. And again, if you do that, God will honor that, and you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom. Again, you have God's word on it, and it doesn't get any more sure than that. We're out of time again for tonight. So as we do at this time, every single night, we say good night. We say God bless. And then we say always, 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 always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Let's see, you've applied for our open position for account representative?
Yeah, that's the one.
Great. I see you went to UC Berkeley.
It was really awesome. We had several sit-ins to protest oppressive capitalism.
Oh, and how about your skills for this position?
Oh, yes. I know all about how to spot microaggressions and root out privilege.
We don't really do that here. We do accounting and finance consulting.
Do you have any safe spaces?
Safe spaces?
Yes, where people can go to get away from the colonialist mentality. As long as there's a diversity, equity, and inclusion policy, we'll be fine.
Life's too short to waste your time on bad hires. I'm Andrew Krapischetz, the CEO and founder of RedBalloon.Work. Every week, tens of thousands of reliable, career-minded job seekers visit RedBalloon.Work without all that woke nonsense. Post your open jobs at RedBalloon.Work. And if you put in promo code SALEM, you'll receive 10% off your first month's job postings.